Welcome to another Buzz Marketing for Technology podcast. I'm your host, Paul Dunay, publisher of the blog, and today I'm speaking with Robert Scoble, an American blogger and technology evangelist, also VP of Media Development for PodTech Network, and also known as the Scobleizer. So how do you ease your way into some of these communities? I mean, what's the way to kind of start up some of these communities, and what are the tools necessary that you have to get them in order to appropriately, you know, empower?
The hardest thing a corporation has to do lately is to start a community, or start an event, or start a product. Corporations generally aren't very good at bootstrapping things like that. Getting the first 50 people to join your community is going to be the hardest to do. And very few communities know how to get 50 people to join a community.
Sure.
They know how to care and feeding is actually pretty easy once a community is rocking and rolling. But getting one started is pretty difficult. And it's pretty difficult even for people who've had success at it, you know, either accidentally or because they've learned how to do it. You know, I don't know that I could guarantee you that I could start a community tomorrow and have it be successful.
Right, but you were looking backwards and going, you know, hey, if I was to advise this guy, you know, on how to start or how to get his first 50 people in, what would be, you know, some guidelines or some thoughts that you might have around that particular area?
But, well, the first thing that I noticed a lot of companies don't understand is how people are going to find that community. It's a Google world, so if you're trying to reach everyday normal people, not computer insiders, you're probably going to have to figure out how to get onto Google for a search term. You know, like if you're building a community of plumbers, you're going to need to be able to figure out how to get your site found when somebody's searching for plumbing community or plumbing or other plumbers or, you know, plumbing forum or something like that. And you're going to have to think about how the Google audience and Google's a metaphor for all the other ones too, like Yahoo and,
sure,
and MicrosoftLive.com. You know, how to get in there for, and how people search for you. And very few people understand this. I just tore apart a Forbes editor because his title tags weren't very good, because he put his name in there and nobody knows who he is, but they're going to search for, you know, Forbes magazine blog or Forbes, you know. The way people search on Google is different than the way you might think, and you have to put yourself in the person's shoes who's going to search for to join a community, and that sort of helps focus you.
Okay.
Because you're going to have to pick your niche. You're going to have to really understand what kind of community are you building. Are you building a community for truckers? Are you building it for plumbers? Are you building it for Ruby on Rails experts? Are you, you know, and you're really going to have to do some thinking up front, like who is going to actually, who do we want to come into this group and join it? Then once you've done that and you've, you know, brainstormed all the Google terms that you think people would use to find you, that actually gets you to go through a process of, you know, coming up with a group name, you know, thinking about what it is that group is going to offer you or that community. And then you're probably going to just by accident do some research on those terms and see what else comes up, and you're going to start finding people who already identify themselves as part of that community, right? If I started doing some plumbing searches, I'd probably find a few plumbers who have blogs or who've joined communities elsewhere and are talking about their craft or their profession. And same for anything I can think of, right? You start searching for .NET, you're going to find a different group of people. You start searching for Ruby on Rails, you're going to find a different group of people. Or if you start searching for company names, you know, people use that the company names in their online discourse. And then, so what I start doing is start making friends with all of those people, understand what makes them tick, understand, you know, what would, you know, is there a need for a new community? And if there is it a little different than the other ones? Because there might already be existing communities, but they're dissatisfied, or there's a new trend in the community that they need to discuss, and it doesn't really seem all that appropriate to discuss it in the existing places that they're already at. You know, in other words, you need to do some homework and get to understand these people and go to conferences with them and understand who the big fish are. You know, who's the one guy or girl who everybody looks up to in that community and start mapping that out. And, it's certainly on blogs. You can do this very easily. You use Technorati or Google Blog Search, and you start doing some searches for, the term that you want to make a community for, you want to join, really. That's why I joined Twitter, and I have 3,500 friends, because I want to understand what people are talking about, and I want to understand why they're using it. And that was my first impulse, was to join everybody and to add them as my friends and to start listening to them without even speaking so much. The first few days I would just sit back and watch, and see what people were talking about. And then you start building a courage, I guess, to start talking with back. It's sort of like going to a cocktail party where you don't know anybody in the room. Well, you start sizing people up. Well, who's the geek? Okay, who has a BlackBerry on his belt?
Yep.
Oh, there's a geek guy. Hey, can I join your conversation? Can I listen in on what you're talking about? And you don't even ask, right? You just sort of wander into the conversation, start listening. Oh, you guys are talking about this. And then eventually the conversation might turn to something that you know something about, and you start jumping in. Oh, yeah, I saw that movie last week.
So what do you think the role of Twitter will be in communities? I mean, this has come up, several times today, at least in my world.
Well, on Saturday night, I was hanging around with a guy in San Francisco, and we were going to the fireworks show. And, we went to the Apple store, and while I was there, I Twittered, hey, we're going over to the Marriott Hotel. Anybody want to join us? And, of course, one guy was there in San Francisco from Australia and saw the Twitter message and came and was over in less than an hour, And that sort of is the start of that's how you start a community. That could grow into a bigger community, And certainly if an existing community is already in Twitter, it's awesome. I mean, certainly if you go to the South by Southwest conference, for instance, there's a lot of people who Twitter. And I said, right the week before the conference, I went on Twitter and said, hey, anybody going to South by Southwest, you want to do a barbecue party on Monday night? And within 2 minutes, I had 30 responses. So there's already an existing community on Twitter. It's an awesome way to get them to interact with you or to make events or stuff like that. If they're not yet on Twitter, then it's a useful tool to bring your new community members onto Twitter and say, hey, we started a little Twitter group. Anybody, if you want to join Twitter, add this group into your Twitter account, and then we can all talk to each other. And certainly if you're at a conference or if there's an event that's going on, during the Mexico City earthquake, for instance, there were 7 people on Twitter in Mexico City. And I knew about the earthquake an hour before CNN told me about it, because I was listening to Twitter. But that little community grew really quickly because word got around. The real thing that's going on now is the word of mouth network is becoming more efficient. And so if something happens in the world, like some new product comes out or something happens, people start talking about it and start bringing people into your community that you're doing, and you can see these things grow really pretty quickly.
So fast forward 5 years, where will we be with all of this, community, blogging, Twitter?
Mobile blogging? Yeah, well, Twitter certainly ties into the cell phone because Twitter is a combination of instant messaging, a chat room, and blogging. And I call it microblogging because you can only type 140 characters at one time. You can't write a really long, lengthy post.
Right.
Yeah, and so if you're, out to dinner, you can, put a little Twitter, oh, I just went out to dinner with my wife or whatever, Or like we did, you can put, hey, we're at the Apple store, anybody want to come over and see us,
Right.
And you never know. I'm always shocked when somebody shows up. It's like, this is weird, but you just sort of send that message out into space, and you don't know what's going to happen to it, and sometimes people show up. It's pretty interesting. I mean, over the next few years, one thing I can tell you is the word of mouth network is just going to get more efficient, and the world is getting smaller. In fact, just today, Flickr Vision opened up. Now you can watch people's photography as they post it around the world on a Google Map. So if you're in Cancun, you take a cool picture, you upload it to Flickr and geotag it, and now it shows up on the Google Map within a few minutes. Same thing with Twitter Vision. You can actually go to Twitter Vision and watch people twittering around the world right now. You know, not 6 months ago, not a month ago. Like it, when we started blogging, you know, it was hard to find other bloggers. And even if you did, they would only update once in a while. And you couldn't have these really rapid-fire conversations back and forth like in a chat room. Now you're really seeing a new kind of conversation take place. And if something happens, if a new product comes out or a disaster happens or a news event happens, that gets spread around these networks really, really quickly. And it's interesting. The reason I really got excited about Twitter was I noticed a lot of influentials on Twitter, both early adopters, people who just liked, using something before all their friends did, mm-hmm. but also bloggers and journalists and CEOs and people who have a lot of influence in society were joining up on Twitter. And that's what really made it interesting, because you could tell people something and they would take it off to their blogs. You know, you would see news stories go around the world on Twitter first, and then you would see them pop up on all these weird blogs all over the place. And different audiences would see what was going on there. Google is always the slowest one, right? And so, in fact, I wrote about this on my blog. I got 500 visits from Google last night for the term Redfin, and I was like, why did 500 people all of a sudden show up for the term Redfin? Well, I'd done a video 2 or 3 months ago, and so it got high up in the Google results set for the term Redfin, but Redfin was on 60 Minutes last night, and so people were watching the show and going, wow, this sounds like a pretty interesting company. They were going to Google, searching for the word Redfin and finding my video, and therefore hysterical. I was getting a lot of traffic. So you can see how it all fits together. You know, the Twitter is the rapid fire, the bleeding edge, like what's going on right now. But it does get into Google. If you search Scoble, the number 7 result is already my Twitter account. And so it's getting a lot of Google PageRank, which is interesting as well.
All right. The podcast that I did a couple weeks ago with Chad Stoller from Organic, he's a VP of Emerging Markets.
Yep.
And he mentioned an instance with Twitter where someone within a company was contacted by their legal firm and said, you know, hey, that posting on Twitter, you got to pull that down.
Yeah, wow.
It showed up high on Google search, and was obviously somewhat controversial. So she got the call, you know,
yep.
Take it down. Pretty interesting.
Yeah, you know, and more is going to happen like that, because Twitter is very. It seems like nobody's listening to it, or only a few people are listening to it. But it's a blogging tool. You know, even though it looks like a chat room that doesn't have very many people on it, it is a blogging tool, and it gets into Google, and it gets in. Other people can link to it from their blogs, can link to that specific micro post, and so you can get a lot of traffic on this stuff, and you don't even know that the traffic got there. You know, Twitter doesn't show me a graph of how many people are reading my Twitter account, so it can seem inconsequential, but if you mouth off about your boss, I bet you can get fired there as easily as any other place.
Exactly. So be careful who you're talking about on your Twitter.
Absolutely.
Account. Definitely. Excellent. You know, I was doing another podcast with Sean O'Driscoll from Microsoft.
Oh, yeah.
I believe you know him as well.
He ran the MVP program, right?
Yes, exactly. And he can't imagine a world where, you know, communities don't exist at this point, where, you know, that is such an important part of their product and their network and their, you know, their overall community that he just can't imagine a time that it wouldn't exist. And here I'm saying to him, you know, my listeners are interested in starting a community. And, you know, he's got essentially directly and indirectly probably 1,000 communities underneath
yep.
him, whether it be chat rooms and forums and, you know, message boards, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, yeah. Microsoft has always been a leader in talking to customers using these new technologies. And they have, I don't know, how many hundreds of Usenet news groups. I think they have more than 1,000. I haven't been on for a while.
Yeah, he quoted a number over 1,000. It just seems hard for me to even say.
Yeah, I'm almost certain it's more than 1,000. You know, because they have one for every little product and a lot of their initiatives and stuff. They have more than 4,000 bloggers, if I remember right, and active bloggers too. You know, people have written something in the last 30 days. Yeah, it's, you know, they do a pretty good job of letting employees deep down in the company talk with customers online, and that's something that a lot of companies still haven't. They don't feel comfortable with that. They're scared of it because you know, the PR professionals who went to school for PR learn that control is the first thing that they want, you know, so that they're not surprised by any PR that happens in the company.
Sure. I mean, control in that instance is really good, and we're not necessarily sure. The other part I hear is we're not necessarily sure we want to get the feedback. We don't know if we want to hear it.
Yeah, and that's you know, business people are really adept at pushing messages out. I mean, that's sort of, when you go to MBA school, that's what you learn how to do, right? You learn how to write a business plan. You learn how to do advertising. You learn how to talk out to the marketplace and how to deal with, you know, the New York Times and CNN and all that fun stuff. But you're not trained to listen very well, and certainly you're not trained to listen to things on something called Twitter.
Yeah, right.
if you're at MBA school, I doubt any MBA school in the world is teaching you how to, you know, deal with Twitter. They might just start this year teaching you how to use a blog search engine to start, you know, listening, but it might be like a half an hour class out of your 4 hours of 4 years of college experience, you know.
Right. Right. Well, you know, I've been out on the speaking circuit and talking to a lot of folks about how to harness these tools for B2B marketing, especially in technology. And you know, the questions are really shocking because it's, you know, how do you get started? What's the right tool? What do you do? And
well,
I think
there's so many people who haven't even caught up to Google yet and really understand what Google has done to their business.
Right.
And Google's something that happened 8 years ago, right?
Right.
You know, I mean, look at the average website. First of all, there's still businesses around the world that don't have websites. You know, I was at a restaurant the other night, didn't have a website. I was like, you know, do you have any clue how many people you're turning down? Because they're searching for a restaurant, and you're not there explaining who you are and what you're doing. You know, and then you look at the whole raft of other people who already have websites, and, you know, you start looking at the title tags and the content that they're putting on their websites, and it really isn't, you know, SEO'd. You know, SEO is the search engine optimization tricks that you use to get high up on Google. You know, they haven't even thought about that. They don't understand it. They don't understand that, you know, you don't put your company name on your title tag. You put your company name and what you do, right? So you don't just say Joe's Cool Business. You say, you know, Joe's Cool Plumbing Business, right?
Right.
And a lot of people who are in business don't understand the impact of doing that, or if they do, they don't understand how to do it. They don't know what a title tag is, much less what Twitter is or what Facebook is.
I know.
Or what blogging is, or what a podcast, you know, how to do a podcast, an audio or a video podcast, you know.
Okay, so that tees it up pretty perfectly because my audience is business-to-business technology marketers who are looking to get started with some of this. What would be your advice to a marketer with any of these tools or any particular combination of tools? What should you be thinking about or doing?
The first thing is find blogs to listen to. And it's bigger now, right? It's not just blog. You got to find out what's going on Facebook. You got to understand what's going on the video, on YouTube, on, you know, Blip TV, and on the video blogs. And you got to understand what's going on Google. I mean, if you're not doing different Google search every morning, you're probably not thinking very well about how your customers are going to find you, or your partners are going to find you, or, you know, what is the experience that people are going to have when they sit down at the keyboard and try to find out information about you. Even Google, right? They don't do a good job. How many products at Google have a little video with the team explaining who they are and what they do? Only 5%. That shows, you know, even the world's best companies haven't really thought about how to utilize all these tools to communicate with customers about who they are and what they do.
Or institutionalize them to the state that they are a part and parcel of every rollout, whether it be a product rollout or just a new, you know, new release, or, you know, if it's a service line rollout.
Very few companies have done that. Some companies are getting pretty astute enough to at least invite somebody like me or Mike Arrington or Ohm over for product introductions, you know, and get us to write about it and videotape it. Yesterday I just posted a bunch of Adobe products that I went and videotaped the product manager or the program manager and just had a conversation about, okay, what's new in Photoshop, you know? Show me some cool stuff, you know. I want, convince me to buy it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I got $700 in my pocket, and convince me to spend it, you know.
Right.
And so few businesses have even thought about that, you know. Well, how do we do that, you know? But back to your question, how do you get started, like, specifically with blogging or specifically with podcasting?
Yeah.
You know, or specifically with video blogging? My first reaction is learn how to find blogs, you know, that you care about, and then read, you know, 50 of them for 2 weeks before you even think about writing, you know. And so if you're, you know, a plumber, do some searches on Google Blog, search for the word plumbing and see what comes up. And you'll find one or two that write about plumbing on a regular basis. And then start reading them. And you know, after a week of reading them, you should start building a mental model of who's good, who has a good writing style, who's interesting, and why. What, you know, did they use a graphic? Did they use short posts or long posts, or did they use bulleted lists? You know, like I go over to Guy Kawasaki's blog, and he uses lots of bullets. Well, that makes it real easy to read, you know, and pick up on what he's trying to communicate. And Mike Arrington over at TechCrunch uses graphics on every post. That makes his post stand out in my RSS news aggregator. That's another thing. It's learn what RSS news aggregators are and why the influentials are using them. Because I can read 600 things in an evening and 600 different websites in an evening, where if you were trying to read that in a web browser, it would take you, you know, four evenings to read the same amount of information I'm reading in one. You know, and then if you find a post that, you know, gets you going, go and try to comment on it and interact with that guy or that girl who's writing about something and say, hey, I just saw your blog post and I disagree, you know.
Yeah.
Or wow, that was really cool, and here's some more information that I know about, you know, and start adding on to the conversation and add some knowledge that you have into the conversation and stick your toe in the water, right? That's a safe way to stick your toe in the water if you've never written on the internet before, is to start writing blog posts and saying, hey, I'm a plumber too, and here's what I learned, you know, here's how to do, you know, this kind of pipe join, you know.
Right.
And then, you know, you'll probably, if you survive that experience, you'll probably want to go a little further, and you'll probably go, wow, I sort of like this, and I sort of like what this guy's doing, but I could teach the world how to do XYZ, you know, and start putting, you know, blog posts out with, that have, you know, start writing a blog, and then you'll get a little bored with that and start putting some pictures on it, and then, you know, add, you know, learn to record some audio and record a little podcast that's 5 minutes long on a topic and put that up and link to that, you know, and then maybe you go and take a video camera out on the field and, you know, and record something that you're trying to communicate that is hard to communicate with just text, and put that up on YouTube and link that into your blog and so on and so forth. So it builds on itself, and, you know, after a few months, you, all of a sudden you've got a really neat blog that's getting good Google traffic and other plumbers are linking to it, and, you know, everybody's rocking and rolling.
Yep, I totally agree. Well, Robert, thank you so much for your time.
Hey, no problem. Thank you very much.
All right, take care, man.